welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Tuesday, January 11th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. If you've missed any of our broadcasts since we launched this program last Monday, everything is there at buckmastershow.com. It's all archived. If you miss a portion of this program today, when we're talking with Sheriff Dubnyk, you can log on to buckmastershow.com. We're live weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m. Program re-airs tonight 7 to 8 here on KJLL. On today's show, we will lead off with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk, followed by State Representative Vic Williams. Then in the second half hour, a discussion on one of Gabrielle Gifford's favorite topics, solar energy, and we're going to talk space, another one of Gabrielle Gifford's favorite issues, with the founder and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We welcome to the Buckmaster Show Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk. Sheriff, good to see you. What a crazy 3 days this has been. And by the way, happy birthday. You are celebrating today your 75th year.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to bring that up, but thanks for the happy birthday, and thanks to Tucson.
How do you, let's look back to that awful Saturday morning. You were in Palm Springs at a sheriff's event, sheriff's conference over in California, when you got the word. Summarize for us that those horrible first minutes.
Well, the first call I got was that from one of my chiefs, who's in charge of operations, called and said, we have a report of a shooting of seven people at Ina and Oracle. He said, that's all I can tell you, that's all I know, I'm jumping in the car, and he had to drive all the way across town. So for the next half hour, because I wasn't getting any information, I was in total shock.
When you first heard then that Gabrielle Giffords was involved, of course you headed right back to Tucson.
Well, I was already on my way back to Tucson when I got the first call. I was just leaving the parking lot of the hotel. And when the second call came and said, no, we have about 10 people shot, and one of them is Gabrielle Giffords, and it's very, very grave. It was like a horse had kicked me in the stomach because she happens to be someone that I admire and respect greatly, and I know her pretty well. And then I heard that another victim who was deceased was another personal friend of mine, Judge John Roll. And I was just in shock for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And then I became very sad and morose. And the closer I got to Tucson, the more all my emotions turned to anger. I just became so angry, I had a hard time driving the car.
And you were doing interviews with CNN while you were driving back, and there was confusion about what was going on in Tucson.
That's correct. And somehow they got my cell number, and I got a call from CNN, and they started interviewing me while I was around Blythe, California, as a matter of fact. And they kept saying that Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was dead, and I kept trying to interrupt the lady and say, where did you get that information? And ultimately I said, stop, we have to talk about this. She is not dead. She said, well, we have a report from NPR that she is deceased. I said, I just talked to one of my people who's at the hospital. She's in the operating room, and she is alive and well.
You were getting angrier by the mile as you got closer to Tucson. You went directly then to the Westward Look news conference that was literally televised all over the world, and you arrived at that news conference. This anger had been building. After all, as you say, Gabrielle Giffords is a good friend, as she is with me. I mean, I've known her probably as long, well, you've known her longer, but we've known her a long time. So we were all angry about this. You go on national television, and you let it all hang out.
I express myself. It's one of those things that happens. I couldn't restrain myself because my feelings have been for a long time that the anger that exists in not only our community but and in our state, but in the entire United States has devastating results, that people who are especially mentally unbalanced or challenged personality, that they are easily affected by the anger and hate and paranoia and bigotry that they're hearing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to have some significant consequences for this. And I was thinking about this at the press conference, and the next thing I know, I was expressing how I felt.
And even though we had no evidence, and still really don't, that the suspect had been influenced by talk radio.
Well, I have no idea. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you were saying, what this has really done, Sheriff, as you know, it's really started a national dialogue. I think about free speech. I mean, the poll I saw this morning showed that people are pretty much evenly divided about what you had to say. And when you said that you called Arizona the mecca for prejudice and bigotry on violence, you said Arizona is the tombstone of America. Do you regret anything you said?
I said what I felt at the time, and that's the way I feel, and that's the way I have felt for a long time, and that's the way a whole lot of law enforcement people feel in this community, in this state, in this country. I've gotten tremendous response from my peers around the country saying, thank God somebody is going to say something.
Well, you're preaching to the choir to myself here, because you know the reason I'm sitting behind this microphone is because I looked at Tucson morning talk radio, and I decided there might be a place for a voice of moderation. And that's why I decided to get into this.
And some cerebral discussion.
Yeah, discussion, exactly. We talk to the newsmakers. If someone wants to call, we'll take those calls too. 529-3508. You talked about guns during your remarks on Saturday night and the reaction from the Republican state lawmaker who is sponsoring the bill to allow college faculty to carry weapons on campus. He's now criticizing you, Representative Jack Harper. He's blaming you for not protecting the congresswoman.
You know, we're very, very concerned about the our congresspeople and our senators. Because they are very vulnerable. When they're in Washington, D.C., they have incredible amount of protection. But the minute they leave and go back to their respective jurisdictions, they have absolutely none unless there's some specific information or intelligence that their event is going to be problematic. And we've dealt with those in the past. The last campaign that Gabby had was very, very vitriolic. And there was a gun dropped at one point, her windows are being broken out, and numerous threats, packages left, and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, when these congresspeople go back to their respective jurisdictions, unless there's some information, they are without any protection. And this was the case on Saturday.
Sheriff Dolores, is on the phone. If you'll slip your headset on, we can hear from Dolores. Dolores, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show with the sheriff.
Hello, and congratulations, Mr. Buckmaster, on your show. And, Sheriff, I am 100% behind you. I support you. I was so happy when you said what you said, and I'm glad that, you know, regardless of whether or not he was tied to listening to a specific radio show, this needed to be said. Because I think it's just gotten out of hand, and it's not about fun and entertainment anymore. It really does have effect on what people do, and I'm proud to be a citizen of Arizona because of you, Mr. Dubnyk. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you too.
What do you think about Rush Limbaugh calling you? I believe he called you a fool yesterday.
Well, he called for my resignation back in May, and you know. Rush makes a living off of inflaming people against government, against public officials, against elected officials. And it's this kind of hate spewing in our country by numerous sources, not just Rush Limbaugh.
You heard from President Obama yesterday. President and the First Lady will be at a special memorial at the University of Arizona tomorrow at 6 o'clock. What did the president say to you?
The president called to say, thank you for the job your organization is doing. And he also thanked us for the way we dealt with the FBI and the accommodations we afforded his FBI director that he sent out to make sure everything was going according to plan. And his last comment was, is there any resource that you don't have that you need in this investigation? Just give me a call. Thank you very much. I thanked him for the call, and that was it.
Sheriff, we have a caller who wants to talk about these hate groups that are planning to perhaps protest at some of these funerals that are coming up here in Tucson.
As a matter of fact, I think Paula Abad, one of our state senators, introduced legislation yesterday that would prohibit these kinds of protests at funerals in Arizona. And the county attorney's office locally has discussed this issue with her, and they feel that it's constitutional, and if they pass this legislation, it's going to be implemented and it's going to be executed. If these people come and we have a law by Thursday or Friday, those people are going to go to jail.
Rose, did we want to take that caller's response? Yeah, go ahead, caller, on those hate groups.
Yeah, I drive a cab here in Tucson, and I just gave a ride to a lady, and we talked about this. She came here from Georgia, and she said that they have a law down there that if they're within, I think she said several hundred miles of a funeral, you can go to jail. But there's a thing on Facebook right now that's trying to organize people to get in between these people if they do show up.
Well, what I would suggest is that we wait and see what the legislature does today. This issue is currently before the United States Supreme Court on some questionable language. Our people have looked at that, and they've changed that language. We feel that this one is going to be constitutional, and it would be helpful to us if nobody else gets involved in this protest. I think we need to conduct the final services for these victims in a dignified way as we can. And if these people come and we have a law, they're going to go to jail.
It's 18 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Grade the response, Sheriff, of your colleagues in law enforcement and the medical personnel did just a fantastic job.
They certainly did. As a matter of fact, there was a doctor and his wife, who's a nurse, present at the scene. And medical assistance was provided immediately. Evacuation of wounded people proceeded immediately. And I think everything that could have been done was done, and was done quickly. It was done professionally. And I am in awe of how all the agencies were able to come together, medical, emergency services, fire, and all the law enforcement agencies in the area, Oro Valley and Marana and so forth. They practice for these kinds of events. An immediate command center was set up, an incident command was set up, and it proceeded very, very quickly and professionally.
How many months, will it be years? When are we going to get beyond this, Sheriff?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, but my feeling is that as long as we're getting national news, it's going to be problematic, especially for those of us in Tucson, Arizona. And it's going to take the criminal justice system probably years before this goes away.
Okay, Sheriff Dubnyk, thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It's 22 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line to the state capitol, State Representative Vic Williams from Legislative District 26. Mr. Williams is a Republican, and that district covers Marana, Oro Valley, the Catalina foothills, and other parts of Tucson. Representative Williams, thanks for being with us.
Well, Bill, thank you for having me on, and congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much. We believe it's going very well, and many people are listening to us live, or they're going to thebuckmastershow.com, and they can listen to the program anytime, 24/7. Representative, what's the reaction? I know yesterday was very somber at the state capitol. Is it now back to business, or how would you characterize it?
Well, you know, I believe that there's going to take some time for us to grieve, as well as the community in southern Arizona and the entire state. But we're ramping up, and we're going to be getting to business here shortly. And usually the first week of the session is a bit ceremonial, and people getting their bearings straight and committees kind of getting settled in. So there's not a lot of technical work that goes on in the first 4 or 5 days of session.
What are you looking for as far as your personal priorities?
Well, personal priorities are kind of, I believe, aligned with what the state needs here, and balancing our budget, fiscal responsibility. In the last 10 years, the state has failed to balance its budget but twice, and we need to reduce spending in the state of Arizona. We need to get our spending under control and then develop a jobs package in the state that will allow for the development of our economy once the overall general economy of the nation starts to turn around, Bill.
Where were you, Representative Williams, when you heard the awful news about the assassination attempt on Gabrielle Giffords? Were you up in Phoenix, or were you in the district?
No, I was relatively nearby. I was over at La Cañada and Orange Grove at the Metropolitan Water District. That Saturday morning, we had the Republican precinct committeeman meeting, and of course, we caught wind of that and heard about that probably about 15, 20 minutes after the initial shots were fired, and just absolutely horrifying. And, you know, that's my neck of the woods. That's, you know, Legislative District 26 is where the incident took place, and we're all just, it's beyond words. We're just mortified and sickened by what has happened.
One of the first pieces of legislation, I believe, introduced is a bill from Republican State Representative Jack Harper. It's HB 2001, which would allow university and community college faculty with a valid permit to carry concealed firearms on campus. Have you decided about that piece of legislation?
No, I haven't. You know, the gun lobby has pushed several pieces of legislation in the last 2 years at the Capitol. They've been successful with that. Now, I'm an advocate for Second Amendment rights, but also we need to be sensitive to what's going on right now in our community. And quite frankly, those types of bills at this time, irregardless of the tragedy that has happened here in our community, they need to be backburnered. The first priority of this state legislature has to be fiscal responsibility, and has to be job creations.
What are you hearing about the budget deficit? I've heard over a 12 to 18-month period, we could be looking at $2.5 billion. Is that your sense as well?
I've heard numbers ranging in the $2 billion range, but still that's tremendous. But you have to remember that I believe we're going to have about an $800 million deficit from the prior year, about $1.2 billion in the upcoming year that we're going to have to process here in the next coming 90 days or so. I think the way that we have to do this is combine those two budgets together, which will be about a $2 billion deficit, and it's going to be a very difficult task. It's going to be interesting to see how the 33 new members of the House of Representatives are going to process that, as well as the returning members such as myself.
It's 27 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, and we're speaking with State Representative Vic Williams from Legislative District 26. Do you look for fairly rapid action on the budget? Sometimes budget items, as you know, are pushed back until April, May, but is this the top priority up there?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, let me express, you know, last year we had our budget out in nearly record time. I think it was the fastest budget process in the last 15 or so years. And the session had ended within about 100 days. I think you're going to see that sense of urgency again. And the reason for that is that we need to give some direction to our agencies, our state agencies, to our school direction, to our school districts, as to what direction we're taking in the state so people can adjust to what's going to happen with our state government. As well, you know, in order for people to push their personal agendas, their personal legislation here, we first need to finish the work of state government and get that put to bed, put it and get it done with and move forward. Then we can look towards other types of legislation.
What are you hearing from the governor as far as her budget plans? I know she was going to release quite an extensive look during the State of the State. That was supposed to be the plan, but of course, with the events down here in Tucson Saturday, that was dramatically scaled back. Will that come out as a written document, or do you expect her to make some kind of a speech over that?
We don't know at this time, and we were going to get briefed over the weekend, so we had the her speech in hand and some accompanying documents with the speech about her economic policy plans. So I apologize. I don't have that information. Of course, you know, just what has happened has set everything back somewhat. Now, with that being said, I believe that the House of Representatives and the governor's office were working close together. I think that there might be some difference of opinions on how we process the budget and what kind of jobs package going over at the Senate side. But I think at the end of the day, that we'll come together fairly quick, develop a budget, and process it and move it forward as fast as possible.
State Representative Vic Williams, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, Bill, thank you. God bless you, and I appreciate what you do for our community. You're a great voice, and anything I can do to support you, please let me know.
Thank you so much, Vic Williams, on our Buckmaster Show, live line from Phoenix, talking about the legislative session that is now underway. Want to remind you, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers and Rieger's, Flowers and Rieger Associates Certified Public Accountants, the Certified Public Accountants of the Buckmaster Show.
KJLL.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. People in Tucson will meet tonight for a mass at the supermarket where six people were shot and killed and 14 were wounded Saturday. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is in critical but stable condition. Her campaign chairman, Mike McNulty, says that's amazing considering Giffords was shot in the head at almost point-blank range.
It's inexplicable that we could actually entertain the idea that she might end up back in the House of Representatives again. That would be a complete miracle.
The Gulf oil spill was preventable. A report from the National Oil Spill Commission blamed BP, Transocean, and Halliburton for the disaster. It also found government regulation wasn't very good. Two storms are expected to join forces and dump new snow on the Northeast. Hundreds of flights are canceled again today. It's official. The Verizon iPhone will go on sale next month. AT&T has been the phone's exclusive carrier. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-747-0319. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-747-0319. That's 1-800-747-0319.
Hi, Mrs. Miller. I have the cookies you ordered.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, you have 5 boxes of Snacker Bobbles, 3 Little Yummers, and your total is $0.
You mean they're free?
Yep, they're free.
Well, it's a pleasure doing business with you.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software in America. Visit TurboTax.com today. Trusted brand claim based on Intuit Commission survey, August 2010.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. It's 34 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. One of the issues Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords feels very strongly about and has taken a lead on is solar energy. Recently, Science Foundation Arizona awarded a $1 million grant to the University of Arizona Regents Professor Roger Angel for a solar energy project called, it's called Renew LLC, and Dr. Angel is with us in studio. He's developing this technology that aims to concentrate sunlight by 1,000 times on small photovoltaic cells. Dr. Angel is director of the Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, director of the Center for Astronomical Adaptive Optics, and Regents Professor of Astronomy and Regents Professor of Optical Science. Also on the phone from Phoenix, Chris Mays, former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. She's now directing a new program at the ASU Law School focused on sustainability. Ms. Mays was a key player in increasing the renewable energy standard, which requires utilities to generate 15% of their power from solar and other renewable resources by 2025. Dr. Angel, before we come to you, I want to make a mention to Chris Mays. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Oh, it's very sad times, and I know you, of course, felt very strongly and feel very strongly about what happened Saturday. Gabrielle Giffords, a very good friend of you personally, and a very good friend of energy and sustainable energy.
She, you know, Bill, she absolutely is, and, you know, I'm so pleased to be on your program this morning with Dr. Angel. Gabby is a huge fan of his, and as you said, she is one of the greatest advocates in this country right now for renewable energy. She certainly is the premier advocate in Congress for solar energy and believes very strongly that we need to be focused in our state on making Arizona the solar energy capital of the country. And so, you know, we're all devastated by what happened. I'm personally can't believe it, heartbroken by it, frankly angry about it. I can't help myself help but be angry about what happened to Gabby. But there are two things I think we can do right now. One is pray for her and for her staff and everyone else who was injured or killed, but also to remain focused on the issues that she cares about and to continue to try to move the ball forward on solar.
And that's why I wanted to do this discussion, Chris. And let's bring in now Dr. Angel to this discussion. Renew this company. In a nutshell, describe what's so exciting about it, Dr. Angel.
Well, Renew is a company that I've formed to commercialize the technology that we've developed at the university. Just let me add my thoughts also about Congresswoman Giffords. You know, she has been what we've been able to develop at the university in terms of new ways that, you know, potentially could transform solar energy. She was very much engaged, very helpful in getting us support to do this work. So I can't wait for her to get better and be back.
Yeah, that is the good news, that the reports continue to be very positive. You're very positive, aren't you, about the future of solar?
Yes, I am. And, you know, one of the things at the moment, there's quite a lot of solar and there are the renewable energy standards, right? So we need to get solar in place. But one of the problems at the moment is that it's still expensive. And so when the utilities put in the solar, it means that the rates have to be increased. And really, if you're going to get enough solar energy to what I would like to see, so that there's enough volume so that we can start reducing carbon in the atmosphere, then the only way to do that is to get the price down to be pretty much directly competitive with fossil fuel. And so what I've been doing at, you know, in the university development is trying to bring everything to bear that I know about optics and mechanics and telescopes and see if we can't use that kind of focused sunlight to bring down the cost of solar electricity.
Chris Mays, how excited are you about the future of solar for Arizona?
Oh, I remain very excited and optimistic about it, and I believe that we are going to get to the place that Dr. Angel talked about, where the cost of renewable energy and solar in particular reaches grid parity, which basically means it reaches the same price as fossil fuel generation. And I personally think that's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And it's happening because of efforts like Dr. Angel's and Congresswoman Giffords and all the people who are focused on trying to support research and development for solar technologies like the one that Dr. Angel's working on, but also on the policies that are necessary to get solar actually implemented in the marketplace. And it's because of those two things that the price of solar is actually going down. And what's interesting, Bill, is that solar energy, renewable energy, is the only form of energy right now the price of which it has consistently declined over the last 5 years. And so, for instance, the price of solar modules has declined by 40% over the last couple of years, and I think is going to continue to do so. So I'm very optimistic about it.
Dr. Angel's company has a license from the University of Arizona to develop the technology for commercial use and will match the foundation's, the Science Foundation's grant. The technology, Dr. Angel, uses no water, I understand, and has the potential to develop a high volume of electricity based on the amount of acreage it will require.
Yeah, it's the technique we're looking at. We've tried to be as gentle on the environment as it's possible to be. So, for instance, a lot of solar things require blading of the ground and a fair amount of water. We don't blade the ground. We just put holes quite widely separated and put our mechanism to track the sun in the hole. So we leave the creosote bushes and whatever there. And then we're even going to the extent of collecting rainwater in the dishes. So the dishes collect sunlight when the sun's shining, and they collect rain when it's raining.
So then, bottom line, it is very environmentally friendly.
Right.
And Chris Mays, that's very important. We had Dr. Robert Glennon of the UA Law School on the Buckmaster Show last week, and he's saying that siting where you put these solar energy facilities has become a huge problem.
Yeah, and I'm not as pessimistic as Dr. Glennon is. I frankly, as one of the regulators who has actually cited solar projects over the last 8 years here in Arizona, I can tell you that we've cited probably six large-scale solar projects, both PV, which doesn't use water, and CSP, which does. And there are ways to do it that even in the case of those technologies that use water, you're not using as much water as was used in prior applications on that land. For instance, we flip, in most cases, we site these projects on former agricultural land so that when we flip it to solar, you're actually still using a lot less than what we have to use to grow cotton or melon, for instance. But that being said, we do need to be focused, I think, on technologies where we can that don't use water. And I would say that's across the board, not just with solar energy, but with coal, nuclear. Obviously, I don't think we're going to be siting any new coal plants in Arizona. But with new nuclear, with new natural gas, we should be looking at dry cooling technology, the types of technology that don't use water.
We have about 90 seconds left. Dr. Angel, what's the next step for ReNew? What's your timetable?
Well, ReNew is really just starting to take off during this year. We're running a combined project with the university, and that's the one that with the funding that came from the Science Foundation. We hope at the end of the year to have our first demonstration of a complete unit, which is self-contained, generating 20 kilowatts of power. And then that will allow the company, I think, to raise the funding to take the next step, where we try and accelerate production and go quickly to a good scale.
Well, congratulations. Full speed ahead on ReNew, Dr. Angel.
Thank you very much.
And Chris Mays, I'm going to give you the final 40 seconds or so. So the future of when we're going to see solar energy so widely available really isn't that far away then. Is that correct?
I really think that's correct, Bill. And I'm not going to say that it's all going to be easy or there won't be ups and downs, but we really have reached a point, I think, in Arizona and in this country where not only do researchers support advancing solar energy and policymakers, but most importantly, Arizonans do. And I think, Gabby Giffords, who will remain in our thoughts and prayers, believes this. She's a huge advocate for it, and like Dr. Angel, I'm looking forward to working with her on that in the future.
Okay, Chris Mays, congratulations on your new appointment at ASU, and Dr. Angel, full speed ahead for you here at the University of Arizona, and good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break, and we'll be talking about the Gabrielle Giffords space connection. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show at 45 past the hour.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 47 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. The assassination attempt of Gabrielle Giffords has left NASA reeling. Of course, her astronaut husband, Mark, was due to rocket away in just 3 months as perhaps the last space shuttle commander. And her brother-in-law is now aboard the International Space Station. We're going to talk about Gabrielle Giffords and her connection to space programs here in Tucson. One of the top-notch space programs in the United States is the nonprofit Planetary Science Institute. It's a giant in its own right. It's based in our own backyard here in Tucson. I recently became a member of PSI, and I urge all of the Buckmaster Show listeners to join as well. PSI Director Mark Sykes is with us, and PSI Founder Bill Hartman. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks, Bill.
Great to be here.
Dr. Hartman, let's begin with you. The connection with Gabrielle Giffords and PSI, I know she's been over and looked at your operation.
Yeah, that was really a nice thing. I mean, she's certainly shown interest in science in general in southern Arizona, as you've talked about solar energy, and but also astronomy. And we have a nonprofit small institute here in Tucson, off campus, not connected with the university, and she made a special effort to come over, and it was a great day, and you know, we toured all around through the offices, and she was looking at photographs of Mars and so forth, so it was a terrific visit.
Dr. Sykes, your thoughts about Gabrielle Giffords and space?
Well, I was going to say that when Bill founded PSI 39 years ago, among the founders, you know, Tucson's a big, small town, right? And and so there's a lot of people at PSI that knew Gabby and her staff, and so this has just been a stunning turn of events, and we really just wish her and everybody a speedy recovery.
PSI has some really exciting things going on. There's some big space stories in 2011. Dr. Sykes, you want to pick up quickly on some of the projects we should be looking for?
Well, PSI is very involved in the Messenger mission, which is going to be going in orbit around Mercury this March. We also have more members of the Dawn science team than any other organization in the country.
That's the Dawn?
The Dawn mission, which is a NASA mission that's a double rendezvous mission arriving at Vesta, the second largest asteroid, this July. It'll be orbiting and studying it for a year and then leaving, going on to the small planet Ceres in the asteroid belt to rendezvous there in 2015. And we worked a lot with Gabby and her staff supporting these efforts, as well as the basic research programs, which are so important to the foundation of our solar system exploration program. And so her support for that work has been very important.
We're talking with PSI Director Dr. Mark Sykes and PSI Founder Dr. Bill Hartman. Dr. Hartman, why did you found PSI, as Mark was pointing out? My goodness, are we talking almost 40 years ago? You don't look that old. Come on. I interviewed you many times on TV, and it seems like you never aged. And
well, thank you very much. I'll get close to the microphone so everybody can see this.
Right? Yeah, please.
A bunch of us had come through Dr. Kuiper, Gerard Kuiper's office or laboratory at the University of Arizona back in the 60s. And coming out of there, Tucson is such an international center of astronomy. I mean, there's so many opportunities here. And particularly in those days before the web, it was great to have access to the laboratories, the libraries, and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, the city is ringed by observatories. And we just felt coming out, you know, fledgling PhDs in astronomy and in geology and planetary science, that this would be a great place to have an independent off-campus science institute that would be bringing money in from NASA and grant money to young PhDs who are writing proposals and so forth. And that's really turned out to be true. I mean, we just started with a group of four or five of us who had connections with the university, and we are now up to 50-some research employees under Mark's direction, and many of them outside Tucson, but bringing grant money into the city.
And Mark Sykes, I think your organization does complement, of course, the world-renowned work that goes on at the University of Arizona when it comes to space and lunar technology.
Yes. We do a lot of collaborations with the University of Arizona, also other organizations around the country and world, actually. We have our scientists are involved not only with a bunch of NASA missions, but also missions from Japan, India, China. The Chinese government is paying for one of our scientists to work with them for the next year on their Chang'e lunar mission, analyzing that and doing some other work.
I'm involved with Mars Express, which is a European mission. It's really neat to see, you know, that kind of international collaboration going on. I think planetary science is a nice role model for what we can do internationally. There will be more of that, I think, in the future.
And folks, if you don't know Dr. William Hartman, he is what I call Tucson's true Renaissance man. He is a fantastic painter. He also is a great writer. He's had so many books. One of my favorite books is the one that came out, I don't know, 5 years ago, The Traveler's Guide to Mars. Has it been that long?
Maybe? I guess that's about right.
Obvious question, and I think I asked you this initially when this book came out, when do humans get a crack at the red planet?
Oh, there's a good question. Mark and I are rolling our
eyes. Do you think you could answer that for me in about 20 seconds?
How about 20, 25? You know, I guess the real answer is that it depends more on social, geopolitical factors, I think, than technology. And if China continues to make big efforts to get into space and they're talking about landing on the moon, then I can imagine, the United States Congress really saying, hey, we have to ratchet up on our side.
Well, there's a lot of basic homework that we need to do to determine whether humans have a future beyond the Earth. But we have the skills, and in fact, I'd say this country is uniquely positioned to answer that question now, and or I should say, over the next 10 years, and then to take advantage of that if the answer is yes.
And since I have two of these renowned space scientists with me in the radio studio, breaking news, breaking science news that NASA reports the first rocky planet outside of our solar system. Is this a big deal, Bill Hartman?
Well, we in the last decade, we've seen discoveries of planets around other stars, and I think we all knew this was coming. I can remember when I teach my summer course back in the 90s saying, kids, you know, watch the papers. In the next 10 years, you'll be seeing discoveries of planets because the technology is there. So in a sense, we kind of expected this. But yes, it's always important when you confirm that things are going the way you might expect. And, of course, an Earth-sized planet opens up the whole possibility of habitable planets going around other stars and life forms and even civilizations there.
You know, it's the tip of the iceberg. This object's 1.5 times the diameter of the Earth. It's 5 times the Earth's mass. But it's very close to its very solar-type star. It's about 20 times closer than Mercury. It orbits the star once every 20 hours. But it is the tip of the iceberg, and we're going to be finding many more of Earth-sized worlds out there as we deploy a better and better technology. And like Bill said, I think it won't be too many years or decades before we find evidence of life elsewhere in the universe.
For our listeners who would be interested in perhaps touring or learning more about the Planetary Science Institute, what should their recourse be?
Well, I'd direct people to our website, www.psi.edu, and we will be advertising a number of events that we have, and people are always welcome to come by and say hello. We don't have any like big exhibits or anything to show, you know, just scientists working away diligently in their offices at this point in time.
But I also believe one of your board of director members is the Buckmaster Show contributor to science, and that will be Dr. David Levy. Bill Hartman, he's involved with you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's been an active board member along with a number of other people. Tim Hunter is the head of our board. He writes the little column in the newspaper about what's in the sky. Might mention that if you get onto our website, look for the Friends of PSI. We have an active Friends of PSI program, and that would involve events and your meetings and some talks and dinners and kinds of things like that.
And as I mentioned at the top of this program, I believe in PSI so much that I recently put my money where my mouth is and became a member. You know, I quickly here, I think we're about down to 2 minutes. I want to go back to this push to go to an asteroid and all of that. Bill and Mark, quickly weigh in on why that seems to be a big focus right now in the year 2011.
My take would be that Mars is a planet that is most like Earth and therefore offers a lot of opportunities for us to understand how an Earth-like planet evolves. Mars is kind of like northern Canada. We know there's ice under the ground. We know there's cycles of climate change on Mars where there's probably more liquid water available at certain times, about every 5 or 10 million years. And the asteroids come in because if you're going to build any kind of equipment that can go to Mars, whether it's manned or not, there are many asteroids that are easier to get to than Mars. So asteroids become a very easy, natural stepping stone on the way to Mars and offer some very interesting opportunities about possible resources in the future. We know there are pure metal asteroids.
Mark, quickly.
Yes, asteroids are a critical step in whether we do have that future in space, because they're going to be a source of fuel from water that we can obtain from there, and these are from near-Earth asteroids, and they're going to be the foundations of the infrastructure we have for an expanding space economy if we choose to go in that direction.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We've been speaking with Mark Sykes. He is the director of the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson and the founder of PSI, Dr. William Hartman, Bill Hartman. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
And we're at 59 past the hour now on the Buckmaster Show. And we're getting ready to wrap it up. And I do want to remind you, those listening and folks who are listening live on KJLL, will be going to the daily briefing at University Medical Center for Gabrielle Giffords. But that will be coming up in a few moments. But in the meantime, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a terrific day. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and always on our website. Please check out the website. We put a lot into it, buckmastershow.com. Good night.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.